presenting Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1,200 and all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, when we talk about aviation pioneers, there's one man south of the border in Mexico who can't be left out. He's General Roberto Fierro. And down in Mexico, people think of him as the greatest flyer in the world. He's had an exciting life during which he's worked himself up from a garage mechanic to Mexico's greatest airman. No man knows the country, much of which is still unsurveyed, better than General Fierro. When no one else would fly the planes that the government bought, he was the one who took them into the air. Gradually, he worked himself up to the rank of general, and then the highest position in Mexican aviation, chief of the Air Corps. He had a hand in establishing government flying schools to train young Mexicans for military and civilian aviation. You know, all airlines operating within the country must use Mexican pilots. And the record those flyers have established speaks for itself. It's among the best in the world. The man most responsible for that is General Fierro. The general himself, even though retired, is rated as the best aviation mechanic in all of Mexico. He still tinkers around his workbench and does all the work on his own plane. His wife says there's no one in Mexico who can get as greasy as he does. Fierro has also led a one-man fight to push Mexican civil aviation up to the place it deserves in the country's transportation system. Yes, sir, gang, Roberto Fierro has had an exciting life. And in just a few minutes, I'll be back with some of the high spots of it. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. The mysterious change in tone of the bell from the carillon of Coronets has had a deep effect on the personal lives of Hop and Tank. For, by implication, Mr. Miller, the caretaker of the Lakeville Town Hall, has blamed young Christopher Cross for the sudden discordant tone of the Lakeville bell. And the boys are certain the crotchety old man will not hesitate to spread his suspicions around town. Certain as they are of Chris's innocence in the affair, they feel now they must find the answer to the mystery in order to clear him. As we continue, Hop and Tank are in their beechcraft with John Temple, the FBI agent, roaring northward over the snow-covered Midwestern plains, heading for a small Ohio town. They are making the trip in response to the news that another bell, sent from Czechoslovakia, has suddenly become discordant.
We're making good time. The tailwind we're riding holds. We should reach Flemington by 8.
Good.
What's the story on this bell, John?
Just about the same, Hop. Arrived Veronica 3 days ago. In this case, was on the church steeple. The tone was perfect until the bell chimed for afternoon services yesterday.
Sour, huh?
Yes, Dane. His reports to the local police. Our men on the lookout for these reports pick it up.
Boy, what a routine. Somebody's sure putting a whammy on that carillon.
So it seems. And I'd certainly like to know why.
I'm more interested in finding out who.
Because of Chris?
Yeah. When I think of the stories that old Goat Miller must be spreading right now, I see red.
They can't back him up, Hank.
Oh, Roddy can still talk, can't he? He won't shut up till we get the right answer.
John?
Yes?
When is your man going to examine the Lakeville bell?
He should be there now.
What about the guy who's checking the bells in all the other towns?
Well, his report should be waiting for me in Flemington.
John, you say the Lakeville bell was the sixth one to go sour?
Uh-huh. Flemington is the seventh.
What about the fifth? When was it affected?
Well, let's see. Today's Thursday. The one in Lakeville went bad Tuesday night. A Monday. That's when the fifth was affected.
Where?
A town called Waynesburg in Alabama.
Alabama, Lakeville, and Ohio from Monday night to Wednesday evening.
Wow. Somebody's traveling awful fast. Exactly what I was getting at. From Lakeville to Flemington is a distance of 1,000 miles and was bridged in less than 24 hours. What does that suggest to you, Jim?
A plane, of course.
Private or a regular commercial job?
Be easy enough to check.
What about the last bell? The one that's still good?
So far as we know, you mean.
Where is
it? Out west, Nebraska.
Well,
I'm way ahead of you, Hop. I've already sent a man out there.
Good. I was going to suggest flying out there ourselves.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Let's not go off the deep end. I want to get back home by tonight.
Huh? Why tonight?
Boy, what a brain.
What are you driving at?
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Oh, for Pete's sake. You're getting old, pal, to forget Christmas. You can say that again.
Am I caught short? No Christmas shopping.
Well, I picked up something for Trish yesterday morning. We'll be from Boston.
Oh, thanks. So hit that throttle, will you?
The quicker we get to Flemington, the quicker we get back home.
Take and make it up the hill.
I heard that, young fella, and I'll have you know this car's as good as the day she was made.
Yeah, but how good was the car 20 years ago?
Well, if you take this hill like nothing, you just watch now. See?
Oh, brother, what a racket. Wonder if the motor makes coffee, too.
That driver?
Yeah.
You think the pastor will be up this early?
Oh, sure. We're going to have Christmas services pretty soon. Yeah, we made it. On the
dirt end. Okay, Pop, you win.
The church is right down at the bottom of the road, see?
That's your driver. I understand you have a new bell in the church people.
Yeah, some Christmas present.
What do you mean?
Well, the way that thing sounds wouldn't surprise me none if all the cow's milk turned sour around here.
There's something wrong with it.
Nothing wrong. Mister, you ain't heard nothing so gosh awful all your born days. I ain't one for music, but by gosh, I can sing better than that bell ring. Well, here we be. Well, there's the pastor himself just opened up the church.
Oh, good.
Hey, driver. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, young fella. Merry Christmas to you.
Come on, boys.
Gee, sure is pretty out here. Just like them paintings you see of old country churches.
Pastor sees us. He's waiting for us.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You're Pastor Howard, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I'm John Temple. I wired you last night.
Oh, yes, about the bell. Come in, won't you?
No, thank you. Go ahead, boys.
Hey, Tank, wipe your feet first.
Oh, sorry.
Pastor, I'd like you to meet Hop Harrigan.
How do you do,
Mr. Harrigan?
And Tank Tinker.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, my boy. This way, please. We can talk quite comfortably in my office.
Fine. I hope we haven't come too early.
Not at all. Although I may not be able to give you all the time you wish, our morning services will begin soon.
I just want to ask you a few questions, sir.
I trust I'll be able to help you. Come in.
No, thanks.
Just make yourself comfortable. You may smoke if you wish.
Thanks. We don't touch this stuff.
Now, Mr. Temple?
Well, to begin with, this bell did come from the Carolina Piranhas, didn't it?
Yes. During the war, my congregation was kind enough to send food to the poor unfortunate Piranhas, and they sent us this bell in return.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very gracious gesture.
Its tone was good when it arrived.
Perfect. I was very pleased.
When did it change?
Yesterday, in the late afternoon. I don't need to tell you I was very shocked.
Have you examined the bell?
Well, yes, in my own clumsy, amateurish fashion.
And?
I could see nothing wrong with it.
Do you mind if I call an expert in and check it?
Not at all. I'd welcome it.
Thank you. Now, tell me, sir. Did you notice any strangers near the church yesterday?
Strangers? Well, frankly, I wasn't here most of the afternoon.
Oh. Was anyone around?
No. Well, we're not a very wealthy parish, Mr. Temple. We can't afford a sexton. I do most of the work here myself.
Then I see. How long would you say you were away?
Oh, 3 hours at least, perhaps longer.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the church is rather isolated. Could anyone else around see it?
No, I don't think so.
That seems to be it, then, doesn't it, John?
Yes.
It? I don't follow you, Mr. Harrigan.
Well, the time during which something happened to the bell. Whatever it was. The time somebody gave it to business, you mean.
Why, Mr. Tinker, surely you don't believe someone deliberately damaged the bell?
I'll say I do.
But who would do such a thing? And why?
That's what we're trying to find out, Pastor. And believe me, it's getting tougher by the minute.
Even as John Temple shakes his head in apparent frustration, the church bell suddenly rings out, and the discordant tone is only too plain to hear. Pastor Howard listens a moment, sighs, and then, rising, makes his excuses and leaves. Gang, we'll be back in just a moment, so stand by. Now, fellows and girls, let's get back to General Roberto Fierro. If you were to ask General Fierro about the most exciting few minutes he's ever spent in the air, you'd get a surprising answer. It was the first time he ever flew a plane. Back in the early days, when aviation was considered only a fad, the Mexican government decided to teach a small group of men to fly. A flying instructor was imported from Italy. Bright and early the first morning of classes, the instructor stood up in front of his students and admitted he had never flown a plane. In fact, he had never even been off the ground. All the teacher had was a fancy book which gave instructions on how to assemble a plane and how to fly it. There wasn't much we could do, says General Fierro. We put the plane together and reported each day to the field to listen to the instructor read from his book. Day after day, the Italian read to his Mexican students. And finally, one day, he let them start the engine. Weeks later, he let the students take turns getting into the plane to taxi around the field. One time, as Fierro was taxiing around, he pulled the throttle just to see what would happen. Before he knew what was happening, the plane was off the ground and shooting past the hangar. Well, Fierro circled around the field a few times, wondering what to do next. You see, the instructor hadn't arrived at the chapter in the book which told how to land. Finally, Fierro headed out into the country, turned back toward the hangar, and then cut his engine. Now, Fierro knew he'd have to land. Well, he hit the field with a bump and turned over on his nose, but fortunately, he escaped unhurt. And that's how Mexico's greatest aviation expert, Roberto Fierro, learned to fly. Believe me, gang, it'll be much easier for you in flying school, so if you want to get into aviation, get ready now. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Christmas Day. Once again, hot and cold, far from home, family, and friends. With John Temple, they leave Pastor Howard's office in the rear of the small country church and quietly take seats inside the simple house of worship. As the choir finishes singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, their clergyman steps up to the pulpit and faces his congregation.
My friends, we meet here today, as we have done for many years, to renew our faith and spirit with the message given us on that first day when the star brightened the path to the manger in Bethlehem. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Shining words, hopeful words, a message to hold in our hearts always. But, my friends, the message has become dim. We are in danger of losing it. We listen to the words with our ears. We see them with our eyes. But it is a mockery, for our souls are dead. We have suffered 4 years of ghastly war. The blood of millions has been shed. And yet, can we honestly say that we have learned the bitter lesson for which these lives have been sacrificed? If we have not, then the sacrifices have been in vain. And yet, somehow, I cannot believe that humanity has not profited by its bitter mistakes. I cannot believe that peace on earth will not someday be more than just an empty phrase. It is up to us, to all of us, young and old, to work toward this goal, to do unto others only as we would have them do unto us, to look upon all men, regardless of race, creed, or color, as free and equal in the eyes of the Lord.
And so as Hoff and Tank rise to join in singing the beautiful words of Adeste Fidelis, they leave you today with a wish for all of you on this Christmas Day, 1947. A wish for peace and goodwill.